Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson back at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture tent at the Minnesota Farm Fest. It is a gorgeous day today. And guess who we caught? We caught the Ag Commissioner. Not that I should be surprised, Tom Peterson. Tom, you got to be happy looking at all these folks checking out agriculture today.
Yeah, it's what a crowd here today too, Eric, and just really good to see everybody. I think every time I turn around, I see a farmer that, you know, I just want to talk, and I wish I could spend, a lot of time with each one just to pick their brain, see what's going on, but just tremendous to see everybody here today.
Yeah, we'll give maybe just a little bit of a plug. Obviously, you guys have got a tent here, and you got some different displays. I know you're talking Palmer Amaranth and water and other things. Anything you want to just briefly mention?
Yeah, we have our Ag Water Quality Certification Program, which has been a real success in Minnesota, and also our loan programs. A lot of people don't realize all the different loan programs we have. And, highlighting Palmer is always a big issue, trying to keep that controlled in Minnesota, which we've been able to do. And so I urge people, if they're out here, stop on by the Department of Agriculture tent, yes.
I know you were just down checking out, I believe, the governor's forward debate that's going on. I did not catch that, but you take opportunities, obviously, to check out some of the forums here.
Yeah, we had great forums yesterday. We had, several members of Congress here and candidates. We had a great Farm Bill forum yesterday. You know, the Farm Bills are incredibly important in Minnesota. And then the governor debate. We had a good old-fashioned rip-roaring governor debate and packed audience, which is, it's great to highlight the agricultural issues. No matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, it's great to see two candidates for governor talking about agriculture for over an hour.
Well, let's talk a little bit about agriculture. And I was listening to the debate yesterday, or at least the talk about the Farm Bill and what folks would like to see included. And obviously, crop insurance is a big thing. But what was your takeaway from the forum yesterday?
My takeaway is that the 2018 Farm Bill is a pretty good Farm Bill, and that it's in that we'd like to see some improvements to that Farm Bill, but don't blow it up, and so that we need to adjust some of the prices, some of the reference points, and kind of build on that Farm Bill. And so that's, really my main takeaway. Farm Bill's really there as a safety net, and farmers, last couple of years had to use it as a safety net. So continue to build on the previous Farm Bill.
Let's talk about some issues and things that are going on in the state of Minnesota. We got off to a crazy start. We weren't sure if we're going to be able to get some crops in. I know that Minnesota's been dealing with some drought issues in the southern part of the state. So overall, maybe just give us a few things that have been kind of on your front burner for issues.
Yeah, that late planting, just a month behind was really something. But then to see the farmers really catch up, and then to see the crop catch up, we got some early growing, but now starting to dry out a little bit. We really need some timely rains. 90% of Minnesota's crop in the crop progress report last week is in fair to excellent condition, which isn't too bad, but we need some timely rains like this week to really help in that mid part of Minnesota, down around Stearns County, south of the cities, is little bit is clipped into D2 drought. And so if we can improve upon that, we'll be good.
I actually talked to some folks that just one for sure that actually had lost because of drought. They just hadn't had any rain. Is that prevalent or just kind of an isolated issue?
It's real spotty right now, but like I said, this week is going to be, I think we're going to see an expansion of the drought this week when the monitor comes out on Thursday, because we are seeing, we need some timely rains, like I said, especially around that western part of the state and the non-irrigated acres in Stearns County and then just a little north of here.
Let's talk about Trade Mission. I didn't realize you were one of the folks that got to go down to the Philippines. So talk about what was that like?
What a great opportunity to join 10 other states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, of course, Minnesota, to go to the Philippines, the 13th largest nation in the world. They got about a third of the population we do. And, the simple fact is they don't produce enough food to feed everybody, so they need our imports. And we have a quality import, a quality crop to export to them, and they want to buy soybean meal, wheat, our top exports to them. We also really worked on African swine fever. Minnesota is a top number two pork producing state. It's incredibly important that we understand that. We signed an agreement with the University of Minnesota in the Philippines to exchange some veterinarians, but also hopefully export some pork there too as well. So great mission.
And I think some folks that I have talked to, they have learned, because we've had some trade missions come our way up in the Fargo and the North Dakota side, how important it is not only for us to go to there, but people to come to here. it's not just something you see in the news. These trade missions, it's actually good to get in front of these folks.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, COVID really slowed that down, you know, that trade is relationships. And that's what I really learned as commissioner. We've hosted a lot of groups, as you said, this summer. We have a lot more coming here in the next couple of weeks. It's great to see the interest in the crop that we have. But you're right, it's relationships and relationships and relationships. So looking forward to continuing to build those.
I did want to ask you, we haven't heard about it as much, but you mentioned it, avian bird flu. What is the status in the state of Minnesota right now?
Yeah, you know, it's been probably a couple of months since we had a case on a commercial farm. The one thing I'd say is a little different than 2015 is we are continuing to find wild birds with avian influenza in Minnesota. I think 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of eagles test positive. And so we know the virus is still out there. It's still circulating. We're seeing positive cases on commercial and backyard flocks in western states. And so we're really concerned about that fall migration as it happens. So in 2015, it didn't reappear in the fall, but we're worried about that this fall. So we're really working with the growers to keep that biosecurity up and keep our flocks safe.
I think the last number I heard, this was a while ago, I thought it was around 3 million, maybe more birds that had to be put down, and maybe just talk about trying to help those farmers through that, the growers.
Yeah, you know, in Minnesota, you know, 2015, we lost 9 million birds, so 3 million this year. I think a lot of improvements in process and biosecurity really kind of, you know, compliments to the farmers, compliments to the companies. And so that, you know, I think is going to be helpful. You know, and then also we were able to repopulate those farms a lot quicker this year. So we had maybe assigned a case manager to those farms. We didn't have people moving around. We had better cleaning and things like that. We could get those birds back up and running, so we have plenty of tom turkeys at Thanksgiving.
I ask you real quick, and I'm not sure where things are at, but the battle with the EPA, always atrazine and other chemicals, anything on your plate right now for that?
Oh, you know, there's always a lot with the EPA, you know, and so it's interesting, you know, we have a pretty good line of communication with them. You know, it's important for farmers to have tools that they need. Atrazine is sometimes misunderstood. We'll be working to really tell the stories of what we've done in Minnesota is that we've put different things in place, worked with growers to reduce atrazine, to try to address that in different issues. And so that's a big issue coming up. We also have things around biofuels, dicamba. You know, there's plenty of issues, but you just got to keep that open dialogue with them.
How did the I-94 corridor with the dicamba thing work out this year? Did farmers, were they able to work through that? You know, one side of I-94 could use it for a period of time, the other couldn't.
Yeah, I will tell you that I looked at the numbers on Monday for dicamba. We have one case north of 94, and we have, I think, 14 south of 94. So it does show that in this area we still have some dicamba complaints, but overall that's a tenth of the cases that we had last year. So the complaints, drift is way down this year. Of course, we had a later planting, but farmers made the adjustments, and that'll help. You know, I think with the longer being able to keep dicamba, if we're able to, you know, manage it and keep those complaints down, dicamba will stay as a tool for farmers that need it.
Going back to the Farm Bill, I know you touched on it. Anything else that you want to get the word out about? I know we're obviously having these listening sessions. You had one recently in Northfield, Minnesota. It looks like a lot of people are coming out, but you just never know what it's going to end up to be in the end.
Just how important it is to Minnesota. It's important to the Department of Agriculture. 10% of our budget comes from the federal government, things that include meat processing and different things that are very critical to all farmers. So just take that opportunity to participate, be involved in the Farm Bill. You can make a difference. Minnesota's lucky to have both of our U.S. senators on the Agriculture Committee. We have Michelle Fischbach and Angie Craig, who are very active members, bipartisan on the House Ag Committee. And, a year from now, we'll be here before you know it, so be involved in it.
Weed issues. I know you guys have a display in Palmer Amaranth. Is that, I haven't heard a lot of big stories. I know Palmer and others have been around, but there really hasn't been any huge outbreaks. Is that true?
Yeah, it is in Minnesota. You know, I checked before I came out here to Farm Fest, see where we're at with Palmer in Minnesota. We have two sites we're working on in the eastern part of the state that we've had Palmer on for a couple of 2 years now that we are working to control on those farms. And again, they're manure related, you know, so when you're buying manure from different farmers or different sources, be aware of where that comes from and what might be in it. If you're coming from another state that may have Palmer or different things. So right now in Minnesota, you know, we're not going to eradicate it, but we're hopefully going to control it. And that's what I think we've been able to do.
Before we let you go, Tom, and again, we appreciate you taking time, but I wanted to ask about E15. I saw it at the pump, and it was the cheapest gas when I was in New Ulm, under $4, by the way. But let's talk about that. Where is that at in the state of Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota really a leader in not just E15, but E85 pumps around the state. And one of the things we're really glad our legislature passed last year was $6 million to go out to stations to help them upgrade. Some of the smaller stations will be able to put in some E15 pumps, and they needed to upgrade, whether it's tanks or pumps or things like that. And we're going to be announcing that the middle of the month. We had a tremendous interest in that. And then the corn growers, Minnesota corn growers, thank them. They put another $1 million into that. So we have $7 million in grants that's going to go out and help. You know, E15 sales in Minnesota in July were record-setting. You know, and as prices get high, people find biofuels. They find that 88-octane E15 a little cheaper, like you said. And good to see those sales. Helps us, helps our farmers, helps our economy.
Yeah, it was the only thing under $4. So I was excited to see that. How about education, though, for folks that may be seeing this for the first time at a pump and they're not sure if they can use it in their vehicle?
Yeah, I see it all the time. You know, as commissioner, I stop and I watch people kind of look at E88, and they'll even say, and even my, relatives will ask me. And, you know, we have the corn growers, Minnesota Biofuels Association, the department. We are constantly educating people that this is a safe fuel. I've used it for a long time, and, and saves you some dollars. And you don't use the miles per hour on E15. And so it's a win all the way around.